Praise God. That was some good worship, folks. I tell you what, I'm amazed at how when putting these things together and praying and asking God what he's wanting, even before service, after getting here and going running through to make sure everything's working fine, they're just songs. But then when the anointing gets here and you all get here and you get into it, the worship starts flowing. Even though they touch me then, it really touches me when the worship starts flowing. Thank you. Amen. Today we're going to be talking about faith effects. What is an effect? Anybody? Something happens, and something happens because of that. It's the trailer to the truck. The truck goes the wrong way, the trailer follows. Some people try to get the trailer before the truck, and if it's an icy road, forget it. When you see your trailer come around in front of you, something's not right. But this is going to be faith effects. We teach about faith, we preach about faith, we live faith, we walk faith. But what are the effects of faith? What are the consequences or the things that happen because of faith? In Leviticus chapter 5, starting with verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses," and this is out of the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, "And the Lord said to Moses, if anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unwittingly in the holy things of the Lord, he shall bring his trespass or guilt offerings to the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock, valued by you in shekels of silver, that is the shekel of the sanctuary, for the trespass or guilt offering. And he shall make restitution for what he has done amiss in the holy thing and shall add a fifth to it, and give it to the priest, and the priest shall make atonement for him and the ram of trespass or guilt offering, and shall be, he shall be forgiven." In the Amplified Classic, is if anyone commits a breach of faith and sins unwittingly in the holy things. God wanted his people to know how holy his things were. There were consequences. There were effects to this. Before we go any further, Father God, I thank you for this day. And I thank you for your word. Let me not preach this the way I would, but let me preach it the way you're saying. Lord, let your word go forward into hearts and lives. And Lord, I pray the light bulb go on for all of us today. That we take this word and we mix it with faith. We mix it deep within ourselves. And that we find it profitable for us. In Jesus' name. The same verses in the Message say, God spoke to Moses, when a person betrays his trust and unknowingly sins by straying against any of the holy things of God. Betrays his trust. Now, that's a different way of looking at faith. Is it our trust in God or his trust in us that we will walk in it? When you, in the Amplified, it says when you commit a breach of faith, and here it's saying when you betray his trust, when you're not walking in faith, when you're not standing in faith, what you're doing is betraying the trust that he put in you that you would. That's a different look at it. That's a different aspect of it. He goes on, he's to bring his penalty to God, a ram without any defect from the flock, the value of the ram assessed in shekels. Who do we know that was our ram at the cross? Jesus. So when we have sinned, we know that we can go and say, Father, forgive me. I didn't mean to do that. I betrayed your trust in me. I've broken my faith with you. Lord, forgive me. Amen. I'm going to go on down because we read the other, but I want you to see that faith is actually breaking trust, his trust in us. Breaking that faith. When you have a faith failure, you have consequences. Sin offerings were required in the Old Testament for a faith failure. Someone under the law that had a breach of faith had to go and provide a sin offering. And it wasn't just any offering, it was a specific. If you go down through there, it talks about other times, if you don't have this, then bring turtle doves. This was a sin offering that required a ram. It was going to cost you dearly. It wasn't, well, I'll just get by with this. I'll just do that. It was going to require you dearly to make it right. The reason for that is if the penalty's high, maybe you'll choose not to commit it in the first place. And so God looks on our faith as a holy thing from us to him. Not just, I've got faith in God. There's a holiness to it. There's a depth to it. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 51 and 52 says, because you broke faith with me in the midst of the Israelites at the waters of Meribah Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin, and because you did not set me apart as holy in the midst of the Israelites, for you shall see the land opposite you at a distance, but you shall not go there into the land which I gave the Israelites. Have you ever been ready to do everything you can? You've been playing hard. Maybe you're in a basketball game and you're playing hard and you're running and you're pushing and you've been playing every quarter, making shots and making blocks and stealing ball. You've been doing everything you can. At the last minute when it's time for the winning shot, you just know you're going to get the ball and the buzzer sounds and your coach says substitution. And you send a guy fresh off the bench that hasn't done anything to go in and replace you. And you go sit on the bench and you watch him make a shot and win the game. And he's hoisted up on the shoulders. And you go, Coach, I did all this. He goes, yeah, you did fine. I mean, you're just ready to make put the end to it. And he says, nope, I'm changing players. How do you think Moses felt? I'm taking you out of the game, son. But, Coach, I did all of this. And he says, yeah, but you did this too. You hit the rock when I told you to speak to the rock. But I did all this other. But you didn't do what I said to make me holy before them. I told you to do something and you did your own thing. There were consequences. He didn't get to go into the land that God had promised them. There were consequences. Now, if you read the rest of the story, Joshua, his name means Savior. Today, we talk about the law of Moses is the Ten Commandments and the 600 and some laws that they have to keep and all of the sacrifices is called the law of Moses to this day. The law can only take you so far. And then it takes a Savior to take you in to what God has. But you know, Joshua wasn't born Joshua. He was born Hosea, which meant deliverer. God didn't need a deliverer. He needed a Savior to take his people in. Now let's move forward. Jesus came as our Savior, Yeshua, to take us on in, to fulfill the law of Moses, so that we can go on in to our promised land. Isn't that neat? But Moses had a faith failure. He believed he was doing right, but he didn't do what God said. He lost out on entering the promised land with the people. Now, he was 120 years old, too. But you know what it said he did? He walked up the mountain at 120 years old. And he died, and God buried him. God performed his funeral, dug his grave, was his pallbearers, and was everybody in attendance. How's that for a funeral? Do you think God sang How Great Thou Art? We hear that at a lot of funerals. Moses had only lost favor in this. He didn't show God to be holy by doing what he wanted instead of what God said. Let's go to Proverbs 28, verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Amen. You looking for blessings? Be a faithful person. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. But he who makes haste to be rich at any cost shall not go unpunished. Well, there's a two-edged sword. Be faithful and you abound with blessings. But if you try to go be rich on your own at any cost, he's going to punish you for it. Say, well, does that mean I'm not supposed to be rich? When he blesses you and he pours blessings on you, it's because you're being faithful, not because you're trying to go and nickel and dime everybody and get everything done the way you want to get it done. It's because he's blessing you. God blesses those who are faithful. Amen. Isaiah 61, verse 8 says, "For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong with violence or a burnt offering. And I will faithfully give them their recompense in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant or league with them." By being faithful, you enter into the covenant. We're called children of Abraham because of our faith. All those who are named in faith are children of Abraham. And if you're a child of Abraham, you get all the blessings of Abraham and his covenant with God. I don't know why this keeps making noises. So be faithful and enter into the blessing of the covenant. Well, just a second here. I guess that's right. It was telling me the same time as when I started on my clock. Yeah, but it was sitting there saying 11:15. What's going on? Anyway, so be faithful and enter into the blessings of the covenant. Where's the covenant? In what Christ did. His blood. A new covenant in his blood. Oh, praise God. Matthew 8. Verse 26 says, "And he said to them, why are you timid and afraid? Oh, you of little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great and wonderful calm, a perfect peacefulness. These disciples had walked with him for a number of years. They had seen the baskets of food that had been left over. They had seen people raised from the dead, healed. Eyes that were people born blind, created in people. They had seen things happen. And yet, they actually cried out to him, says, "Don't you care? We're going to die." How many times do you think after he rose from the dead and they realized what he had done in life and death, how many times do you think they wish they had never said that to Jesus? "Don't you care?" When they realized that he was the Son of Almighty God. And every breath he took was because he cared. But Jesus was amazed when the disciples were so timid in faith. Don't be like the disciples in this instance. Let this be an example to you of how we should not be as believers. Stand firm in your faith and be like Christ in this situation. He didn't stand up and say, "Whoa, that wind's strong." He just rebuked the wind. It was immediately calm. And not only that, but they'd been rowing all night long to get across that. They were all of a sudden at the other side. And if you go back to what he told them when they got in the boat, he said, "Let us go to the other side." He didn't say, "Let's go halfway and struggle." He said, "Let's go to the other side." What's he told all of us? John 14:1 says, "I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also." That's his, let's go to the other side. He tells us in another place, we're told in another place, we're to occupy. Occupy. Not just sit back on our haunches, but occupy until he comes. Let's go to the other side. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 9 says, starting in verse 22, Jesus turned around and seeing her, he said, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. How much do you think that woman knew she was well? Because he felt the virtue go from him. She felt it in her. She knew she wasn't supposed to be in the middle of that crowd. She had the issue of blood. She had things going on in her that meant she was unclean. She risked death to push through the crowd and touch him. And he could have said, who are you, woman? You have this and this and this going on. But we know the word says those who are in Christ, there's no condemnation, right? No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But instead he turned and he said to her, take courage, daughter. Your faith has made you well. And at once the woman was restored to health. He did not say, what I'm going to do on the cross and the stripes I'm going to have on my back and all the things that I've told about in Psalms and Isaiah, those things are going to happen to you right now because you're going to be healed. He didn't say, because I have faith, I'm healing you. Because my Father sent his word to heal you, I'm healing you. He didn't say any of that. He said, your faith has made you whole. Your faith. It's something active that you can do and receive what he's doing at that moment. Her faith. He didn't take away her faith. He elevated her faith. Yes. And then at the same moment, she received her healing. In Matthew 13, verse 58, it says, and he did not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in the divine mission of Jesus. Jesus healed people everywhere. He delivered people everywhere. You go and read different aspects of different times. It says he healed everyone. Everyone. But here's a city he could not heal in. He only did a few healings, it said. And the reason it said he did not do many works of power because of their unbelief. This is the city where he grew up in. Some of these people said, I used to watch you follow your dad carrying sticks when he was carrying lumber because he was a carpenter. And I'd watch you make little houses while he made big houses. I watched you run through the streets chasing the donkey. I saw you with the snotty nose wiping your face. I saw you when you went to have your bar mitzvah. I was there. I gave money to your family for that. They couldn't believe that he was any more than just the same kid that had grown up in the same streets that they'd lived in. My kids went to school with your kids. They went to school with you. My kids grew up with you. Now, you're a good kid, but you're nothing special. He couldn't do anything because their faith would not step out and see who he was for who he had been. How many times does that happen with you as a believer? People can't see past who you have been to see who you are in Christ. How many times do we do that to ourselves? We know where we've been. We know what we've done. We know who we have been in the past. And instead of seeing who we are, we still point to ourselves. We still say, but I'm only. Remember Moses at the burning bush? God told him to go and he goes, who are you going to send with me to speak for me? I know who I am and I know what I've done. But he grew into a man of faith until he had that one issue. Now, we know God didn't chuck him into the wilderness because he was at the Mount of Transfiguration with Christ. We know God didn't kick him out. He just said, because of this, you won't go do that. I don't want him to say to any of you or to me, I would have used you, but. Be in faith. Be a faith people. If God says, this is what I want you to do, do it. If God's leading you to this situation, go do it. Be a part of it. Stand in faith. Don't be cowering in the boat saying, but it's too. Stand up and say, storm, be stilled. I had a man getting ready to point a gun at me one day not too long ago, about 6 months, 8 months ago. He went so far as to pull his shirt up and reach back like this. I knew he had a gun, and I just stood and looked him in the face, and I said, you pull that, and it may be the last thing you do. And he stopped. He looked at me. And he kept going on, and I realized that this was a spiritual battle, and I said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And he stopped. He didn't move that hand any farther. He put his hand down, put his shirt down. Later, I called the foul spirit out of him. He couldn't stay. He walked away. See, I realized the difference between it being a physical confrontation of one man to another, that it was a spiritual confrontation, because there was nothing going on that he needed to pull a gun at me. There's nothing going on. He needed to keep cussing me out. But when I bound him, he stopped. And when I called that demon out of him, he put his hands down, his shoulders went down, and he walked away, where he'd been so mad just before that, murderous mad. He turned around and he just walked off. And I thought, wow. Because it was just a revelation at the moment. And I took it. I followed God. Now, if he didn't have a gun, he was stupid. If he did have a gun, he was an idiot. Because he was getting ready to pull down on someone for no reason. He'd been in prison. But God. It was a spiritual situation. God allowed me to take spiritual authority. And guess what? Both of us are still alive. He's still bound because I have never loosed him again. But it was a faith act that God says, you need to do something about this. And this is not time for fists. This is time for the word. So I used it. When Jesus went to Nazareth, they lacked faith. He couldn't do anything with them because they lacked faith. They weren't willing to exercise their faith. Is your faith intact? When you go into these situations, sometimes you're the one that has to stand up. You have to be the one that will be like Moses in all the other things he did and didn't stand up and call God holy in their situation. Is your faith intact? If it is, stand. Matthew 17:20 tells us, he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, that is, your lack of firmly relying trust, for truly I say to you, if you have faith that is living like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to yonder place, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. The backstory on this situation is the disciples had a person bring their son for them to cast out a demon. They had done this in many other situations because when we sent them out two by two, they came back and talked about how demons had been cast out and people had been healed and this, that, and the other. And he said, don't be rejoicing that the demons are subject to your name or to your voice. But they couldn't cast this demon out. And they knew what it was. And he said to them, bring the boy to me. And he rebuked the demon, cast it out, and the boy was made whole. But then he said, why? Just privately, why couldn't we do this? He says, because of the littleness of your faith. He didn't say they had no faith. He said, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith that's living like a grain of mustard seed. Now, you can take a grain of mustard seed and you can plant it. Or you can take that same grain along with some others and you can grind it up. And you can make mustard powder. Mix it with stuff and make a mustard. Add it to food and it will season everything it touches. Or you can plant it in the ground, that mustard seed. And you don't get a little tomato plant type of thing. You don't get a little bush. You get a tree as big as a big old oak tree. But that mustard seed has to be planted. It has to be cultivated. It has to be watered and allowed to grow. And what do you get? Do you get one mustard seed back? You get a whole tree of mustard seeds. Amen? One seed planted grows to such a point that you can plant a whole grove of trees, or you can make more mustard than you ever want to use. You get more than you can use. You can take it and use it in many situations. Our faith, as a grain of mustard seed, he said, that faith, that live growing potential, can say to this mountain, be gone. Is it your finances? Is it your sicknesses? Is it a situation in your family? Is it your neighbors that won't leave you alone? Is there a mountain in your path? Stand in faith. Read the word, confess the word, and you're not speaking and believing that the mountain will be removed. You're believing in the words you speak, that the word of God will not return void. And it's that belief and faith in that that the mountain goes. Because you're not even believing in the words, your words, because you're speaking God's word. You're confessing his word. You're believing his word to such a degree, if God said it, it has to happen. Amen? So have mustard seed faith. Don't keep it in a bottle, in the cupboard, in the spice rack. Plant it. Let it grow. Watch over it. Amen. Matthew 21, verse 22 says, and whatever you ask for in prayer, having faith and really believing, you will receive. Is that a maybe? Is that a possibly? Is that a 1 in 10? It tells you to have faith and really believe. Do you know how much faith it takes? The same faith it took when you were an unbeliever to say, I want Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I want to be forgiven of my sins. When you knew nothing about the Lord except you needed to get saved and somebody told you that Jesus will save you and cleanse you of your sins, and that little spark of faith, that same amount of faith is what it takes to be healed. That same amount of faith is what it takes to be delivered. That same amount of faith is what it takes to prosper in him. It's that kind of faith. Not that you build yourself up to be a mountain of faith, but because you believe. Faith, believing, the word says, you will receive. Amen? I don't have slides for this, so bear with me. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to point out some things here in Hebrews 11. We know that Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 says, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. We know that the enemy is defeated by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Do you want your name written here? Let's go down through a few things. Verse 4, by faith, Abel. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 9, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promise. And you go down a little farther with Isaac and Jacob. Verse 11, by faith, Sarah. Verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't receive them, but they didn't lose faith. In verse 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is not ashamed to be called their God. What does he say about you and me? Does he put us in the same category? And it goes on to say, he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 21, by faith, Jacob. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. Again, verse 24, by faith, Moses. Verse 27, by faith, he overtook or forsook Egypt. Verse 29, by faith, he kept the Passover. Verse 29, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. Verse 30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell. 31, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish. 33, through faith, they subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword out of the weakness, were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Starting with verse 36. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. In verse 40, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. They did what they did. They walked what they walked. They endured what they endured in faith for you, to show you an example, looking forward to the things that you were being offered in Christ. They knew that the things they were being told that were going to happen were for other times and peoples, us. That the just will live by faith. That your sins would be forgiven. That God would make a people who were not a people. Not with etchings of law on stones, cold hard stones, but with his law written in our heart for love. They longed to look in and see when these things would happen. And then Abraham was told this was for this time, not for him. And he didn't sit around and go, but God, I want that. He continued to walk in faith and is an example to us today how we walk in faith. He wasn't walking in the promise of the Messiah that had already come. He was walking in the promise that the Messiah would come someday. We look back and know what Jesus already did, and it covered and took care of what he did all the way through. But we have the ability to know that we're living in the age of grace. They weren't living in the age of grace. We have the Holy Spirit in our lives, in our bodies, in our hearts, because we're sealed by the Spirit. Otherwise, we're not one of his. He walked by faith, knowing God, but not having received the salvation. In John chapter 11, starting with verse 25, it says, Jesus said to her, I am myself the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts, and relies on me, though he may die, yet he shall live. And whoever continues to live and believes in, has faith in, cleaves to, and relies on me, shall never actually die at all. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed, I do believe, that you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of God, even he who was to come into the world. It is for your coming that the world has waited. Amen. That's faith. That's the same faith that should be screaming out from our hearts and lives about anything God said that we're to go do. These signs shall follow those who believe. That's faith. They shall lay hands on the sick. They shall recover. And it goes on and on and on. That's faith active. Are you a believer? Are you a faith walker? Amen. Believing in Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection requires faith. The same faith you need for healing, as I said earlier, the same faith you need for deliverance, the same that you need for prosperity. Remember sozo, that Greek word? How is your believer? Are you quantifying what part you believe? Or do you believe all that Jesus has done for you? Believe and show your faith to God. Amen. Heavenly Father, I ask that you add your blessing to this word and let this faith message go deep within us, that we apply our faith to it and it becomes profitable to us. Lord, I pray for a bumper crop that everyone's faith grows by leaps and bounds. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. At this point, let's receive the priestly blessing, the Brachit Kohanim.
Yeverichi karadonai veishmurecha, yaradonai panav elecha vechunecha, yesa adonai panav elecha vesham lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom.
Amen. How are your acts of faith going to affect you, your environment, your world, your family? Go in faith and come back testifying to the effects that you see in your life. Amen. 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 Amen.